in Jesus' name.
Good afternoon. Time to begin our afternoon worship service. Before we do, we've got a few announcements we'd like to make. Let's see. Here's our normal crowd of some visitors with us. It's good to see everyone out, though. We do have some additions to the sick list this afternoon. Kim Gaynor's still at home, feeling under the weather. Carrie's at home with a migraine. Courtney's also at home with a migraine. We need to remember, as we announced this morning, Mary Ellen Barron has pneumonia, so let's pray for her. We need to continue to remember Sandy's husband, who is still in the hospital and is planning on going home, I think, tomorrow. He's still got quite a road ahead of him, so let's continue to pray for him and Sandy. Sandy's going to have be taking care of him, so it's going to be a lot of stress on her. Let's remember her in our prayers. Let's remember baby Tabitha. She continues to grow stronger. Hopefully gets to come home soon. Let's remember Mark and Lori are both dealing with health issues, as well as let's remember Warren as well. He's got a procedure coming up, I think that's tomorrow or this upcoming week, and then possible surgery from, depending on the results of that. So let's pray for Warren and keep him in our prayers. TJ is working tonight, so that's where he's at. And then, of course, Mark and the Kaysen family are out of town, taking Chelsea back to, college. So let's remember them as they travel. Andrew is down for the Wednesday night invitation. And then let's also make note for the ladies, as we announced this morning, there's the Bible study. The monthly Bible study for the ladies will be on the 11th of March. That's a week from tomorrow, 7 p.m. at the Bartlett's house. Those taking part in our worship service this afternoon, our song leader will be Warren. He selected song number 22 as our first song. If you want to go ahead and turn there, song number 22. Opening prayer, we'll ask Andrew to word that for us at the appropriate time. Tim Clark will be handling the Lord's Supper, if there's anything you need to partake at the appropriate time. And at the close of service, we'll ask Aaron Collins to lead our minds in closing prayer. That's all the announcements I have at this time. Let's take out a songbook now and join us in praises to God.
We'll sing all three verses.
All the way my Savior leads me, what am I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here my faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, choose each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, low a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, low a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Our next song is on page 93. After the song, we'll have our open prayer. Sing all four verses.
Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with loving zeal, the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, sin sick and sorrow worn, whom Christ doth heal. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with fervent prayer, the wayward and the lost, by restless passions tossed, redeemed at countless cost from dark despair. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with one accord, with us the word to share, with us reproach to dare, with us the cross to bear, for Christ our Lord. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with joyful song, the newborn soul today, reclaimed from error's ways, inspired with hope and grace, to Christ belong.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for allowing us to be back here once more today to worship you in spirit and truth. We are so thankful for the Christians that are here gathered together and that make up the local congregation here. We are thankful that we are able to have different strengths and abilities to where we can help one another to read and study for your word in different ways to be able to gain more knowledge and have more insightfulness. And to be able to better try to connect with other passages. We are so thankful that we're able to do so, to be able to be better students, to be able to handle the word rightly, and to be able to try to present your word to others. Help us to be able to continue our work here at this local congregation, to be able to reach out to those who are lost, and to try to also to examine ourselves daily. All we want to do is to be right with you and help us to share that same hope that we do have with others around us. We're also so thankful for those who are here this evening. Help us to continue to encourage one another while we sing, while we pray, and throughout the rest of this worship service. Help us to encourage one another not only today, but each and every day as possible. We also ask you that there are those who are unable to be here. There are several who are not feeling well, who are sick and are at home. We ask you that they may regain their strength, that they be able to be able to be out once more to continue to work for you. We also ask you that you may also be with those who have turn their backs away from you. Please have something maybe said or done by us or by other Christians throughout the world to help them realize that they need to have the right relationship with you, and that it's only through you that we are able to have the hope of salvation and to be able to be with you for all eternity. We are so thankful. We are so thankful that you allow us to be tempted, even though that it is a way to test of our faith. If we are overcome and we keep our faith and trust in you, that we know that we can become stronger. Help us to study your word daily, so that we can be able to have a ready answer on any particular situations. Help us to be able to be steadfast and be ready. Help us to be able to use your word rightly, especially when those who have questions or those who are teaching wrongly. We thank you so much for allowing us to be able to have the opportunity to worship you. We have just sung a few songs of how wonderful, of great blessing that you've given to us to allow Jesus to come to this world, to be the example, and to also to be that sacrifice so that we can have the right relationship with you. It is through Christ that all things have been made possible. And it's because of Christ that we can put our faith and trust in you. And to be able to have confidence that we know that the things that we do is according to your will. Please help us to be continued in mind and in spirit, to be able to worship you in a well-pleasing manner, but also help us in everything that we do to be according to your will each and every day. If we do fall short in sin, please forgive us for our sins and help us for repentance, and help us to make any choices necessary to be able to be right with you. Help us each day, as well as help us with this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Is there anyone here this evening who needs to take the Lord's Supper? If not, we just have to take it for you. The song before Chuck brings it. Sing all four verses.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dearest ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot go. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free. Ready as he summons me to go or stay, anywhere with Jesus when he points the way. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot go. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep, when the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and never more to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot go. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Please mark your song books to page 414. 414. That'll be the song of invitation.
Okay, can you open up your Bibles to the book of Colossians, if you would? Follow along in our study tonight. Colossians. I failed to mention it this morning. I wanted to express my appreciation to all those who filled in for me while I was out of town. I want to take you guys for granted. You do a lot, and some things, more things fell on some than others. And I feel bad for Dan. I just kind of loaded him down when I was gone, but he came through it all right. This morning's lesson, we were talking about how the Bereans were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, how they received the word with readiness and searched the scriptures to see whether those things were so, which Paul had taught. So we looked at some of the positive things there. I know it may have come across. Everybody never likes it when I raise my voice. It was one of those sermons. I tell you, it's rare. I don't do one of those all the time where I'm constantly loud. So I'll just tone it down tonight. But it really was talking about the positives in the sense where we need to be like that and have that readiness of mind in order to become believers. We may be believers in God and His Word, but we need to become true believers as we discussed this morning. Now, having said that, I said this morning that I was going to kind of do a part two. It kind of is. It isn't really a stretch because the part two of all this is because if I was talking about, and let me put that back up here again, you know, you have those believers who became from a believer to a believer, and we spent a lot of time talking about these folks. Well, what I want to talk about is what Paul now warns about. Now, as long as we search the scriptures and we have that readiness of mind, we're going to be fine. And I think in the Colossian letter, Paul is trying to help the brethren stay on the straight and narrow. Well, we were dealing with Paul going in and teaching these people so that they would become believers. Okay? But what about those who don't listen? What about those who want to stay this way? Okay? Those Judaizing teachers, or those people who want to believe in Judaism, and like those in Thessalonica who just rejected Paul and didn't want other people to accept what Paul had to say. So, what we're dealing with in tonight's lesson is those teachers that didn't become this, those people who are trying to influence us today, who are trying to influence the Colossian brethren. And Paul handles this well. It's just a really powerful lesson that just kind of diagrams very neatly some of the signs and some of the things that we need to be looking for in those people that can sway us. We'd be naive to say that we're not being influenced or there isn't some evil influences out there in the religious realm. Let me just go ahead and read the text and then we'll just kind of set the tone of where we're going. I'm going to start reading in verse 16, okay? I'm in Colossians chapter 2. 16, right through the end of the chapter, so follow along. And I'll be coming back and talking about a few of these things. Therefore, so obviously we should be talking about some things before, but I'll tie it all in. In verse 14, 16 rather, therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival of new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase which is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Now let's kind of put this all together tonight. Twice Paul says in verse 16 and verse 18, twice he says, let no one. Why say that? Because you're going to let some. There's that danger. You're going to allow it to happen. Let's look at verse 16. Let no one judge you in, well, but they are, Paul. But don't let them have their way with you. You've got to stand against that. Don't give in to that. Yes, there are going to be those who are going to try to pressure you. Look at verse 18. Let no one defraud you of your reward. Don't let that happen. But it does happen. I think what sparked these two lessons is some of the things I experienced since I was gone. You know, it just kind of freshen your mind when you're exposed to some things that are going on in this world and even with the churches of our Lord and people being influenced by some terrible, terrible things. And so it being fresh on my mind, it's just telling me, okay, we might not have that problem here, but let's just make sure we never have that problem. Especially as we grow and as we get larger, Lord willing. That's what we pray for, right? Why is it we just want to get large? No, that means we're reaching the lost. We want to save souls. We want people to become Christians, which is what Paul was doing. But the last thing we want is when people become true believers, they go back. That they'll be influenced by these people who didn't. Or maybe some who fell away and they became teachers. They claim that they have come to a greater understanding, which I've often heard. So what are some things about these people? There's two things as I was reading through this section that really jump out at me. First of all, they judge Christians and things that they ought not to in verse 16. But more importantly, look at verse 19. And not holding fast to the head. It's as simple as that. We've said that over and over. And we've got six or seven things that we're going to be looking at, folks, that we need to be aware of that will appear in these kind of people. That has cool people. Even though Paul says, let not this happen, it's happening. But that point right there in verse 19, which is going to lead us into our main points this evening, we can see why they're so dangerous. They're not holding fast to the head. And we know who the head is. It's Christ. That's what makes it so serious. You know, people say, Chuck, why are you getting so up in arms about this? What's the big deal? So they're doing this little thing. But it's not what the head authorized. You know, if you're not going to listen to the head, you need to understand the ramifications of that. I was trying to tell that to our visitor today when Jeremy came. You know, we're just saying, you know, he actually said, I didn't say it. Didn't say it at all. He said, so you're not a denomination. And I says, that's right. Actually, no, really what he said, he says, so you're non-denominational is what he said. So you're non-denominational. He said, yeah, we're not a denomination. I says, denominations are man-made. Their origin is man. But when it comes to the church of our Lord, I says, this church, its origin is with Christ. And I said a few other things. But that's what we're trying to help people to see. But you know, if you don't respect the head, then nothing should surprise you. But the problem is, you know, if we forget that verse 19, if we forget that point, and we push it away, what we're going to notice tonight is, what are these guys doing that has such a powerful influence on people? Why are they being successful then? I mean, if we as God's people know that, hey, it's Christ we want to follow. But you know what happens? That kind of gets pushed aside. And with the points that we're going to notice that Paul mentions here, I didn't come up with it. Paul comes up with some of the things that they're doing here that causes people to forget the fact that they're not holding to the head. Like what? What do they do? Well, let's look at some. Let's go to verse 18. Let's look at our first point. He said, let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility. Let's stop right there. I like that one. I don't like it, but I witnessed it. You can get yourself in trouble real quickly, folks, especially with brethren. If you criticize someone for their teaching, but they come across as a very humble person, you can get yourself in trouble in a heartbeat. Because humility, I mean, to me, a lot of people have to think that if you have humility, nobody can question you. You will be correct. No, not at all. What it is, it's a false humility. Why is it a false humility? Because like we say, you're not holding to the head.
You're not holding to the head. Now you come across like you're such a humble person, and let's look a little bit of that. I mean, you want to see evidence of this? Here's your perfect example. Matthew chapter 6. You guys remember 2 weeks ago, I made reference to this. I was going to preach on this, but I'll just use this point. Remember I said I did a lesson on don't wash your hands because we talked about Pilate? Okay? And I said, well, I needed to follow that one up with a lesson called wash your hands. Well, here's where I got it. And that's in verse 1 and 2. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. And here it is, that they may have the glory of men. Who's going to give them glory? People do it. I'm telling you, folks, people are gullible. People eat it up. I don't understand it. I don't understand why anybody would eat that up. But there are people that just give them the glory because they're standing on the corner. Look at those godly people. There will be people that we talked about here, as he mentions here, do not do it to be seen of men. And somebody say, man, I went down and I helped this guy, and he was poor, and I gave him some money. And people just, okay, he's not holding to the head, okay? But he wants to share with you some of the great things that he does. He's a humble person. And this person wants to just come across and she's not, I'm praying to God, quiet, I'm praying to God. Everybody, no, we don't do that, right? You don't go into Wendy's, do you? You don't go into Wendy's and you're having a lunch. Everybody, quiet, I'm about to say a prayer. You don't do that. Why would you do that? Lord doesn't want you to do that. You might just quietly just close your eyes and give thanks for some food. I'm not promoting Wendy's, but I'm just saying. The point is that we need to be careful with what he's talking about here. Paul warns. Who are these people? Well, they're the ones that they portray this false humility. And brethren, let their guard down because they admire that, because it's exhibited in the teacher. People talk about, well, they got a good heart. Chuck, you don't know this person. They got a good heart. Excuse me? But he's no sovereign. They're not respecting the head. You don't know them. You don't know them. See what happens? It's all about this false humility. Now, this the genuineness of all of this, of course, is what he mentioned a little bit earlier about putting Christ first. They raise their eyebrow. I tried doing that when I was putting a sermon together. I'm like, how does a person look when they're coming across like a humble person? I don't have those big eyebrows, you know. But you come across that way, and you try to say, well, why don't you teach? You go talk to him, Chuck. And I go, hey, how come you're not teaching this? Well, Chuck. And look at him. He's a humble man. Look at him. He's just like, well, Chuck, that's nice. You know, he's trying to do what the Lord wants us to do. No, you're teaching false doctrine. But no, that to them it shuts it down. They're duped. They follow it. They believe it, and that's why Paul's warning these brethren here: don't get caught up in that. It exists, and that wasn't it. That's not the only thing. Rather, go back to Colossians. Hope you're holding them. I lost my string a long time ago, but lost. But the next phrase of those individuals that are described, they take delight in false humility, and they worship angels, is what it says there. They can tell people that God created angels. Yeah, they can. And angels are above man. We know we're studying through Hebrews, right? Christ was made a little lower than the angels. What's that mean? Made man. It means the angels are above man. Okay? You can just see somebody just fooling people. Like, God created angels. Oh, you mentioned God. It's a good thing. Christ is made a little lower. Angels? No. It comes across how godly these people are, and they're thinking about, they're spiritually minded. You hear that a lot. Oh, he's just a spiritually minded person. But you know what that spiritually minded person needs to understand? He needs to understand what Jesus said. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, okay, In Matthew chapter 4, let's pick it up in verse 8. We won't read all the temptations, but verse 8 says, "And again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" So don't let anybody fool you with their spirituality. Christ, the head, is to be respected. Worshipping of angels and giving glory to other things. Angels posed problems for people in the first century. I might use some other things, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But you can think of the passage we used this morning, Galatians chapter 1. Even if an angel from heaven comes down. Don't put them above the Word in Christ. God spoken unto us in these last days by His Son. Angels pose problems for people. You and I. When we worship our God, if it's not in spirit and in truth, it's unacceptable. And worship for angels is wrong. And so when people want to change the worship, and if it's not Christ-centered, the Father, the truth, when we come together, when we pray to Him, we pray to the Father through Jesus. Now, people do not want to do that. I don't know. You know what? It's interesting. I don't want to promote something because I don't like to. You know, if you mention something you've seen on TV, it can come across like you endorse everything, and I don't want to do that. That's why I do it rarely. But some family told me that these were members of the church on Duck Dynasty. Okay? Go to the Church of Christ. Okay. Well, sure, I get that, but I noticed some problems with that, some inconsistencies, and I can only well imagine where they go. But the point is this. At the end of their program, they want to close with a positive thing, and the dad says a prayer. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Why are you bringing this up, John? Because family said, there's a new season 3 coming up, and I caught the first episode. And I noticed something different from the first episode of 3 than the first 2. Every time the father prayed in the first episodes, I haven't seen them all, is he always says, "Dear God, thank you for everything. Thank you for our food. Thank you for our family. Amen." Always does that. But then I watched season 3, and I wonder if somebody got to him. I wonder if somebody went up there and taught him, because all of a sudden now he says, "And in Jesus' name, amen." Jumped out at me. I'm thinking, somebody got a hold of him and said, "You're teaching people on there, just pray." But we're to pray to the Father through Jesus, is what Jesus said. He asked anything in my name. It's through Christ. Now, I don't know if that's what happened. But that's my point. It's just to get you to understand that there are times when people need to understand that there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And people can come across like, well, they're worshiping. Yeah, but you know what? If it's not according to God's way, it doesn't make it right. That kind of parallels with what we discussed this morning. Yeah, they're worshiping. Yeah, they believe in God. Yeah, they believe in the Word. But if it's not according to what the Lord taught, that's our Bible study this morning. We have a pattern that we follow. Well, let me move on. I'm getting bogged down here. Let me get over to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and let's look at yet another aspect of these teachers that we need to be aware of to keep our guard up, because we don't want to lose our reward that he talked about in here. He wanted them to lose their reward. Verse 18, he went on to say, "Let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen." Oh, man. I'll never cease to be amazed of how confident people are in teaching things that they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, with just such confidence. And this is the way it is. And there's no Bible to support it. Kind of reminds me of the passage over here in Acts. Go to Acts 20. Listen to this. Acts 20 and verse 29. You guys might remember that chapter. Remember Paul talking to the elders at Ephesus? We read 28 a lot. You guys feeding the flock. But look at 29 and 30. Paul's still talking to the elders at Ephesus. He says in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. also from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. How do you do that? People are get caught up. I mean, why are you just following them? You know, don't worry about it, Paul. Our members are not going to follow. If somebody rises up among us and speaking perverse things, nobody's going to listen to them. Yeah, they will. How come? Well, what we just read over here in Colossians. What they're going to do is they're going to be intruding into those things which he has not seen. You think you know something and you don't. What you've seen, you haven't. You haven't. What are you doing here? Making claims you cannot back up. Some people make claims all the time. Have you ever heard anybody on TV or on radio or maybe even in person tell you that the Lord spoke to them last night? And if I hear one more time, the Lord laid this on my heart to bring this message to you. What in the world are you talking about? It's common. It's a common practice. You want to know why it's a common practice? Because it's effective. It works. People are following them by the droves. They're being successful. And nobody questions. We as God's people who what? We receive with readiness of mind. We're fair-minded. We search the scriptures to see whether those things were so. That's what makes us different, folks. Now, if we don't like to be different, then we're in trouble. But this kind of different is a good different. And we need to be thankful for that. Well, let's move on. Verse 18, didn't stop there. What else? Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Vainly puffed up. Puffs up self. This confidence is connected with the previous point. How do I know that? Well, listen to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What was our previous point? Well, our previous point was this idea of saying things that they don't know what they're talking about and haven't seen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says in verse 6, okay, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, in the previous point, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. People puff themselves up. There's no room for arrogance in God's family. We know that. Those who exalt themselves will be abased. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Folks, if we're going to make it to heaven, right? I mean, I'm talking about not that empty, vain humility, but I'm talking about that which is real. These people put on that vain humility. You say, well, Chuck, if they're humble, how can they be puffed up? Well, the reason Paul says that they're puffing themselves up is because they have a vain humility. Okay, you need to understand that. It's almost like I've discussed with people before. When people who always push love. You know, Chuck, you and that doctor, you know, it's love. You know what I found out? People who just push love, and they don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of the meat of the word, and they just say, no, Chuck, you just got to love. Those are the last people you want to cross up. Because when you cross them, boy, do they turn nasty. I've witnessed it. I've seen it. Why? It's because that concept, it's not built on a foundation. I believe in love, obviously. I preached on it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you don't have love, you have nothing. I preached on it. You know we need that, folks. But I'm saying that 1 Corinthians 13 isn't saying all you need is love. It's not a John Lennon song. He's saying you do need love. But he said if you have no knowledge and you don't have love, you're nothing. So obviously you need to have that. But he's not saying you don't need knowledge. He didn't say that. You do need that. You need that understanding. Paul says these teachers right here, they're vainly puffed up with this fleshly mind that they have. Why does arrogance put a bad taste in your mouth? Think about that for a moment. Doesn't? I mean, do you enjoy it when somebody comes across better than you? You've probably been at the front end of that in your lifetime at one time or another, where somebody has come across, excuse me, wait a minute, I was in line. No? Twice I've been. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We kind of touched on this in the morning lesson, and it's naturally going to happen because they go together. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Remember puffing self up? And as odd as this may sound, puffing self up is being effective. There are people who love that quality. They like to see that in their teachers. They walk in and they're like they own the place. I told you once before where I think it was less than a month ago. I know my timeline in my head doesn't work all the time, but I remember telling you that I remember going to a place where and it was going to be a Bible study, and we're singing a song to get ready before the Bible study, and the song just started, and the preacher, he gets up like this. And we're all singing. We're all singing. And he's up here. And then he finds out where he's going to be at. And he's up in front of everybody. He's up in front of everybody. And, you know, we're singing. And he's not. Yeah. And you remember I talked about a bad taste in your mouth? I'm sitting there going, this isn't good. This isn't good. But this is what happens when people get full of themselves. Well, wait a second. Some people like that. Look at him. He's somebody. That's our preacher. That's him. Look at him. Confidence. He's a confident man. He's knowledgeable. Look at him. Yeah, I just assume not. And that's what Paul's talking about right here. Because people eat it up. I don't understand it. I really don't. And Paul couldn't understand it either. I won't read all of it because we'll start in verse 12. Paul had to deal with it. 2 Corinthians. Okay? Okay. 11 verse 12. 11 verse 12. But what I do, I also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. Boy, I tell you, folks, if you ever studied this book, I mean, that was a cutting statement right there for the brethren. Oh, you guys are so wise. You see Paul going with that. Oh, you're so wise. They're boasting. And Paul had to come back. He didn't want to do it. When I read that chapter, we're seeing a guy, it's like taking a crowbar and trying to pry it out of him. Paul, tell us some of the things you've done in your life. I want to tell people I was shipwrecked, I was beaten, I was left for dead, I was hungry, blah, blah, blah. They forced it out. You know, if anybody could boast, I could. I don't want them. But here are these people boasting and bragging. You eat it up. That emptiness. You eat it up. What a shallowness. How shallow can we become as God's people when these teachers who do not put Christ as first, do not respect the head, as Paul put it. But yet they have their clothes with all these other things that we're dealing with here. They give an appearance of being wise there in verse 23 of Colossians. You go back to Colossians chapter 2. They give an appearance of being wise, full of wisdom. Remember verse 19? They're so wise, why don't they listen to the head? Why don't they follow the head? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what's he say in verse 17? He says, it's Romans 1. In Romans 1, we talked about those people who think they're so wise. Let's look at verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. People are so smart. They think they're so smart. I don't say it to put myself down. I tell Debbie, she said, I don't like when you do that. And I said, well, you know, when I say I'm not the sharpest tool in the tool shed, what I mean by that is all of us here understand that this isn't rocket science. You guys have many times get up and preach the lesson, and what have you said? If I can do it, anybody can do it. Yeah, you've said that, right? If I can do it, anybody can do it. Are you putting yourself down? No, you really mean that is what you're saying. But people think that the gospel is beneath them. Following the head completely. These teachers. But they're being successful. They're being successful. They're influencing a lot of people. And I just don't want you, brother, and I preach this to keep my own skill sharp, you know. I'm trying to stay alert. Because let's face it, that can become me. I can be one of them. And then if you followed me because I'm putting on these things, then you're just as wrong. So we're trying to keep each other in check here. You see, I wanted to come out of this and become a believer, a true believer. I don't want people to pull me back. I made a comment to Debbie while we were traveling back. And I might be wrong on this. You know, you always got to remember, opinion, let people know this. But I've said this. What I have noticed, one of the big dangers, and it's not right across the board, but I said, coming out of denominationalism myself and others that I know that have come out of denominationalism, at times, it's not true for everybody, seem to have a guard up more so to denominational ideas than, let's say, somebody who has never been in one. Because if somebody's never been in one and there are certain things that appeals to them, they don't know that that's what it's coming from. We say, that's what they do. Well, I've never been a part of that, and I don't see the problem with it. Well, we came out of that. And I've seen that, and I witnessed it on the trip where people are doing things. I'm saying, and it just takes me back 35 years. Yeah, I'm an old man. It takes me 35 years, and I know that feeling. I know that feeling of being right there. It does it to me. You know what does it more? I know it's an offshoot, and I might be opening up a can of worms. But you know what does? I'll go through the dial on the radio. You know how you set it, and it'll go keep going through the radio station? When it gets to the one that plays Christian music, boom! I'm kidding you not, guys. It takes me back. It takes me back right there. Because I know how they used it. I used to go to the young people's meetings, and we would have camp groups, and they play the music. And they play the music, and it gets you into a frame of mind. And that's how they control you. You don't understand that. I know you don't. Unless you've been there. It was hard for me. It was very hard for me coming out of denominationalism because of the grips that they had. Paul's saying here, look, these guys are being successful. And they're putting on all these things. They claim to give that appearance of wisdom. And you know what it said in verse 23? Did you read it? It said self-imposed religion. Self-imposed. What's that mean? I don't use that all the time. Well, it just means that will worship. It's self-chosen. You worship the way you want. If it makes you feel good. And that's a draw that these people have. You know, we're just here today. We just love one another. We feel people. Feel good. You know, somebody interviewed us on TV. You know, you can just see how people would eat that up. Man, I want to go there. We just come and we just do what we feel like doing, and we do it for the Lord. No, we do what the Lord tells us to do. That's what's different. We follow the head. Remember, they're not following the head. Paul already established that point. They don't. So whatever we do, in word or deed, we do all in the name or by the authority. We speak by the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. How are we doing on time? Okay, let's just get to this one. I'm going to use the rest of the time, not much, on this last point. Because when it comes to the church, I take this to heart. You're my brothers and sisters. Okay? I'm a teacher. I want to be one of these teachers. I'm a teacher. And you guys, others, are teachers. And ladies, you're teaching. Kids and each other. Here's what Paul said about these guys. Verse 23. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom, a self-imposed religion, false humility, he repeated that point, and neglect of the body. Neglect of the body. Now, these people come across like they're so righteous. And we as brothers and sisters, we care for one another. But a strong tool, one of the wiles of the devil in using these people right here to influence us is looking at them and admiring them for all the wrong things, for all the wrong reasons. You guys remember, I'm just going to jog your memory. Remember, 1 Kings 18, 27, and 28. Chuck, what's that? Think about this. 1 Kings 18, 27, and 28. And that's when the challenge was for those worshipers of Baal. Remember the challenge was given. And you remember what he said, the prophet said, when nothing was happening, fire wasn't coming down. Remember what they did. Remember what those false prophets did? They cut themselves. It says they cut themselves. Now why is that impressive? A lot of people are like, man, nobody's going to cut themselves unless they really have the truth. Nobody's going to put them through that unless they really have the truth. No, it's not true. That's like the Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. That's the one, I got ahead of myself, guys, but that Matthew chapter 6 and 16, that's where the wash came in. I knew it was in the sermon somewhere. I was just getting ahead of myself. In 6, in 16, it says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. I remember joking, like, telling you guys a long time ago that I just knew this brother. I love him to death. And he would work midnights. He would work midnights and then show up for services in the morning. And you know, you got to credit a guy, you know, he's just going to be with the Lord first. You know, I credit him for that. And I would see him from a distance. And he's like, and he's over there and I see him talking to people like this. You know, I can see him talking. You know? And as I approached over, I says, I see you worked last night.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like you flick the switch, you know. I says, wow, you worked last night.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden he was really tired now, you know. Well, you don't have to, but, you know, I get that, you know, that you're tired. Like he's talking about here. Now, wash yourself up. Clean yourself up. People don't have to see that you've done that. What are you trying to do? You're trying to fool the brethren here? It's between you and the Lord. You know, and I could get up here and, you know, and Aaron and Dan, we get up here and Tim, we'll get up here and we'll just tell stories about some of the hardships, and now we have you in the palm of our hand. And talking about some of the hardships I've been going through and the things I'm doing for the Lord, you know, because like I said, I'm going to neglect my body for the sake of the Lord. You know, people look at a, what do you call them? Okay, what do you call them? Convent. Wow. What is that? You know, or these people that go off and they, these monks, I mean, they cut themselves off from society. You got to admire that. I don't admire that. Cut yourself off from trying to reach the world? Get admire that. Look at that guy. He's celibate. He decided, you know, he was going to be a priest and he's not going to get married. Man, you got to admire that. What? Admire that. I don't admire that. Now, if somebody doesn't want to get married, fine. Somebody who has been divorced and can't get married and says, I'm not... I had a brother up north. Jeff, good man. Good man. Love him to death. He went with me to China. And there's Jeff. He said, Chuck, I don't have a right to remarry, and I'm never getting married again. And he hasn't. That I admire. That I admire. A person who says, I'm not going to sin. That I admire. Okay? But he's not going around telling everybody, all right, single for life. He doesn't wear a badge, single for life. No, there are people who want to be martyrs and try to get that influence. And I'm not going to do that to you guys. These kind of teachers, that's what Paul says. They're trying to do that to play with your mind to get you to do what's right. You know what? I play with your mind all right. I say open up your mind and open up your word, the word, and study. That was the morning lesson. Have that readiness of mind. Search the scriptures to see whether they're so. Don't get caught up in numbers. A big building. It can happen to us. I've seen it. Numbers scare me. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of like somebody falling into a lot of money. If that doesn't scare you, then you're being naive. If you fall into a lot of money, you need to pray. And pray hard. And make wise decisions. Because it can change your life. And a local church here, you think those kind of influences can't hurt us? I need to be mindful of this. Because somebody can come in here and we can just like, we want them to stay, so let's just change them. No. Maybe I'll just try to do some of the tactics that we read about here to keep people. No. Just tell me, here's what we stand for. Here's what we teach. If you like it, wonderful. If you don't, there's the door. We say that. And that's what Jesus said to his apostles. When many followed him no more. He says, do you also want to leave? They said, well, who shall we go? Yeah, the words of eternal life. Good answer. You know, he's basically saying, there's the door. Do you want to go too? No, don't want to go. The many went, but we're not going to follow that way. Folks, that Colossians chapter 2 passage is telling us what's being successful back then and today. Paul said twice, let not this. Don't let them. Don't. Why? Because it can happen. And it was happening. Don't let it happen to you guys. Don't. Nothing surprises us if it happened. We were told. We were warned that it was. But we'll do all that we can to make sure it doesn't happen to us. Anyways, we talk a lot tonight about becoming a Christian, but you know what? The key to all of this is staying a Christian. Staying faithful to God. Staying over here. From our lesson this morning, it's great when people obey. You think I don't worry every day? You know, how many of us have been praying constantly for young Melanie? You know, it's great that she obeyed. I talked to her on the phone today. You know, yeah, somebody quit now, and they haven't hired anybody. So she's working all the time. Breaks my heart. You know, that here's a new Christian and is not being able to worship God. Might have to make a choice sooner or later. Hopefully sooner than later. Wanting to do the right thing. I understand if people can get here and then come back. Let that not be said of us. Let's stay strong. Let's do what we can to help each other get to heaven. We're family. That's what I said earlier, that point. We're brothers and sisters. Let's help each other get there. You guys have been praying about that. If you're not a Christian, you can come on tonight. I don't know your heart. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need the prayers of the congregation. That's what we're here for, folks. We're here. If you're faltering in any of the areas that we talked about, let it be known. We're here to help. If you're submitting invitations, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Oh.
have anything else needs to know? It's been good to have been here today. Remember those who were mentioned, Tim, travel, and those who need our prayer. If nothing else, we'll have our closing prayer.
Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and that we were able to have this day to even be alive, Lord, and thank you for that. And we pray, Father, that we've used this day advantageously, and that we have come and truly worshiped in spirit and in truth, Father. And we're thankful, Lord, for this family of God that meets here at River Ridge, Lord, in this area. And we're so very thankful for that, Father, and brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we're able to encourage one another, edify one another, be there for each other, Lord. And pray that we'll continue to do that for Josh and be the example that we need to be to him and for him. Delightful that he was here with us this morning, Lord. We're thankful for Jeremy and visiting with us today. Father, help us to be able to share with them thy truth, as was talked about this morning and this evening, and that's our only message is truth from thy word, from the book that you've given us, Lord. And so help us to keep that in mind as we've been talking about today, not to twist truth or to change it, but to be obedient to it, to love truth and want to share that truth to others. Father, we're thankful for this message that was given from thy word and talking about believe and believers. And help us to continue to be true believers, that we'll keep studying and keep looking to make sure that we have the correct information from thy word and from truth, and that there's no need to change it or make it something that it's not, Lord. And so help us, Father, with that, and to guide us in that. Father, we're asking you to continue to be with the congregation here and the elders, and making various decisions that are coming up and dealing with finance and new building and a new place to be able to meet, Lord. And so continue to be with that and give the elders wisdom in dealing with that and knowledge in dealing with that. And give us all the mindset and heart to continue to want to pray for this, Lord. And so be with us in this transition and time. We ask you to continue to be with the radio programs and the Bible correspondence and the bulletins, Father. And so excited about how so many people here in the congregation are involved in that, Father, and delighted to see that people are interested in spreading thy word. And so very thankful for that, Father, to be able to attend a congregation that people are wanting to be involved and asking questions about, wanting to do more and the opportunity to do more, Lord. And so be with us in that, Father. And when, Father, you open up doors for us to do more, Father, help us to have the courage to do it and to teach others and to help others know thy truth. Father, please be with Sister Sandy and others in trying times, and Andrew and Charlotte and Tabitha and the Nevins, Mark and Lori, Lord, and be with them, Father. And you know their situations and their difficulties that they're going through. And give them the strength to be able to handle those situations. We know that you will, Lord, and Father, that your will be done in those situations as well. And be with us as we go through the start of our week, as we've started it well today, and the remaining of the week, Father, that we'll carry the cross, that we'll carry truth with us. Help us to not fall into temptation, but to truly live a life committed unto you. Watch over us and guide us. Guard us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good job, Warren. Appreciate it.